I'm an addict. Can we reopen this with the wee version of the Serenity Prayer? God.
God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Alright. I'm Sarah, I'm an addict, and my clean date's 11/28 of 2005. Where do I want to start? Pretty simple. I got clean when I was 17 years old, and I've stayed clean. And, hey, it's Ashley. hopefully, God willing, in November, we'll celebrate 5 years, and I'm freaking excited. It's been an amazing journey. It's been a painful journey. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. My parents are addicts, alcoholics, grew up my whole entire life, like they kept getting high, and I had no idea what they were doing. I just knew something wasn't right. And they'd go on and off my whole entire life. And, you know, finally, I kind of grew up and figured out what they were doing. And my mom used to take me down to Mexico because we lived in Arizona, and she'd get her pills and put them in my socks. And I just started getting curious. Like, what little kid wouldn't get curious? And I started taking them. And, like, I had no clue what they were. I don't know how to speak Spanish. No clue whatsoever. And I'd write down, like, the numbers on them and the cover. And I'd hide them under, like, my Hanson poster. And you know what I mean? And I started getting high. My friends started getting high with me, and that's what I did for a really long time. And I was real young, and I had no clue, but I knew my mom and dad were doing it, like when I do it. So I started getting high when I was 11 years old, and it didn't get any better. It didn't matter how old I was. I still got in a lot of trouble, and it wasn't like I got arrested or anything, but I started like putting things on fire because I didn't know how else to act. I started sneaking out and sleeping with like older men. 16 was older. That's big for me. that's when it all started. My parents were like, we got to get out of here. And we did the geographical change and came back here about 7 years ago. And I don't know why they thought Katanning would be a great place to move to, but they did. And I moved into Katanning, and I found a group of guys. I'm like, I was pissed that I'd move back here. Like, I had some good friends out there that I still am in contact with today. It was nice living out there. We could ride the jet skis after school. I never went to school, but we'd ride the jet skis all day. And you know what I mean? Like, I loved it. My heart was broken when she said, you're moving back. If you don't, you're staying here. And so my dad, like my dad is, packed everything up for her and said, okay, girls, let's go. We came back here, and I was angry for 2 years. I cried every day for 2 years. I didn't know what to do with myself. I tried scrapbooking. I tried filling out my time, and, like, nothing worked. So I, like, found a group of guys. There was a bunch of them, and they took me in like one of their own. And they showed me how to get high the right way. Everything, anything. And I became one of the guys in a heartbeat, and I loved it. Like, why would I want to hang out with girls? So that's what I did. And, I just started, like, smoking weed and going to school. And, like, I remember this girl coming up to me and being like, don't hang out with him. He's trouble. And I was like, no, he's not. Okay? Yeah, right. All right. He was. It went down here real fast. Real fast for me. I didn't go to school. I might have showed up once or twice. I remember in 10th grade, I showed up at school. Like, the one day I showed up at school, I don't know why, something possessed me to go to school that day, probably God. And I'm walking past the library, and this guy, I have no clue who he is, pulls me inside, says, come in here. And I said, all right, I'm probably in trouble, no big deal. He said, you're going to rehab today. And I was like, no, I'm not. And he's like, yeah, you are. You have a drug problem. He's like, your mom packed your shit this morning. There's a car outside waiting for you. And I was like, great. The one day I freaking go to school, right? I'm going to rehab. And I went to rehab. They took me down to Archimator, and there was a car waiting there for me. And they took me at the Twin Lakes. And it was a nice rehab, but, like, I just wasn't ready. I just wasn't willing. Like, I had no clue what the steps were. I had no idea what Narcotics Anonymous was. Yeah, I can memorize them and tell you every night in rehab. But I didn't know. I had no clue. I just started smoking crack and hanging out with, like, these 50-year-old dudes because, like, hello, what else was I supposed to do? I wanted to get high. I didn't care how. I was freaking little, and probably, you know, most 17-year-old girls don't do that. They're getting ready for prom and shit like that, and here I am. I have no clue where I'm at. Lost. No idea. I don't know what day of the week it is. And I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. Until I forgot where I was. People would call me and be like, Sarah, do you even know where you are? And I said, I have no clue. I have no idea where I'm at, and I didn't care. I didn't care. That's fine. And people started, like my guy friends that were with me, like, they were like, Sarah, we can't hang out with you anymore. You're getting high too bad. And I was like, what? How jacked up is that? You freaking start getting me high, and you want to ditch me like that? And unfortunately, like, today, like, the things I hear, like, they are now where I was at. back then. It just took them a little bit longer to understand. And it breaks my heart. So, speeding up, okay? My mom and dad are getting high. Okay, there's my little sister. She was like 15 or 16 at the time, and she doesn't get high. Amazingly, out of all of us, she doesn't get high. She's a good girl. She's got a mouth on her, but who doesn't? She had to live in that. Me, my mom, my dad, and there was my grandpa who was clueless. He was old. And that's what we did, day in and day out. We fought constantly. For my sister's orientation for high school, I remember pushing my mom down the stairs because I was not gonna let her go. She was all that. And I was like, oh no, I'll go safer. I go to the high school and throw up everywhere because I was sick from the night before. And I showed all her friends, this is the door you want to skip. If you want to skip, this is the door you go to, you know? It wasn't that big sister role. And she'd call me repeatedly every night, I don't know if mom's breathing. Can you come home? And I'd be like, I can't, I'm too busy. And she grew up with a lot of shit. I don't even know how bad it was for her. I'll never know. What I do know today is, I am a good sister today. I call her. I love her. I actually know who she is. My dad's, freaking crazy addict, and we kick him out because, he's crazy. He's just nuts. He's an addict. My mom got clean 11 days before I did, and I noticed some little things. Laundry was getting done. There was food on the table. And I could smell her perfume around 6:30 every night. She was going to a meeting. And that's how I knew something was changing. It wasn't, that she came and told me, hey, I'm clean now, you should get clean. It was little things like that. She would check up on me a lot more. And that's what she did. And I said, where are you going? Well, I have no idea. Where are you going? And she had her little big book, her big purse, and she'd be walking out the door. And she got crazy hair, and it'd be all poofy and shit. And she's like, I'm going to a meeting. Do you want to go? And for a week straight, I was like, no, no. And the last month of me getting high, I tried killing myself repeatedly, over and over and over again. I didn't care. I just didn't want to feel how I felt anymore. And that's what I remember. It wasn't someone got shot, blah, 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 blah. No, I wanted to die. I just wanted to die. I didn't want to live. I had no purpose for living whatsoever. And I felt like that ever since I started getting high. I don't feel like that today, ever. I might say it when I'm all pissed off and stuff like that, but I don't mean it. She took me to my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting at We Surrender in Katani, and I remember sitting there. And I'm like, these crazy people, man, they're freaking nuts. And I remember seeing this cute boy. I'm like, well, maybe I'll keep coming back. There's cute boys here, you know what I mean? And my mom was like, whatever works. I don't care, you know? And my second day clean, this girl comes to my house. Her boyfriend beats my ass because I slept through to get high. Well, no shit. That's what I was used to. But it was the first time everybody beat me up. I'm a flower. All right, I don't like violence. I love hugs, kisses. Let's make peace. I'm not a confrontational person whatsoever. I'm a little girl, okay? And she beat the crap out of me with a stereo and a phone, and I remember crying in my basement because I didn't know what was going on. I had no clue. I was like, Mom, I got to go somewhere. And I ran to Butler where my aunt was, and she got clean, too. It's kind of all got clean together. And she took me to a meeting up in Butler at the hospital. It was Thursday night, and I saw another cute guy there. And I was like, oh, I'm going to keep coming back, man. This is great. And she gave me the basic text because, I didn't know what to do. I just felt so empty inside. I remember sitting on her couch saying, what do I do? What do I do? And she said, read this. And she gave me the basic text, and I read it. And I remember reading it, and I can't tell you what I read today, but I remember reading it, feeling better. And that's what I did. And I came back home, and my mom took me to another meeting, and to another meeting, and sooner or later, I met Ashley, and she was the closest one to age for me. We were 7 years apart, you know what I mean? We just kind of hung out. She told me to get a home group and get a sponsor, and I listened to her. And I got a home group and I got a sponsor, and I didn't stop. Nothing stopped me. No one said, hey, this is, you know what I mean? Something grabbed me in here, and I can't tell you what it was, but it wasn't a question in my mind not to go. I kept going. And long story short, my dad went to the VA hospital because he's a Vietnam vet, and that's where he lived, Little Doll Distillery, and my mom was mad at him, and blah, 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 so I really didn't, I really had no idea how much, influence mom could have on me, you know. And she said, dad was jerked out, talk to him. I didn't talk to him, and I regret that today, a whole bunch, some, crazy shit happened, with my dad, and, I've come to the conclusion, he is a human being, too, and we make mistakes. My biggest thing in here is, everybody has their process. When someone calls me with an issue, somebody acted out, it's okay, it's their process. it's like our job now to show you how to deal with that. And that's my biggest thing, because I've made mistakes and people still hug me when I come to a meeting. So like my husband's a butler now, all right, which like I'm daddy's girl. I see anybody in my family, I'm the favorite, okay? I see him. I'm just not good, okay? out of four children, I'm the favorite. He got sick, and he didn't tell us. My dad's very secretive, didn't want any of us to worry. And like months went by, and we had no idea. And in the meantime, I got into this relationship with this dude who just hopped out of jail. He was 30 years old, and I was, you know, almost 18. And I'm like, this is great. You know what I mean? We're clean, have a relationship, I have a little white house, and a picket fence, and a little cute dog, and no, that didn't happen. I got pregnant. Ta-da! Because, like, I don't know how to be responsible and take birth control like I should. You know, like, why would I think I could? Like, during this time, like, I remember my dad laying on the couch, and, like, me and my dad's like, you know, I don't think he's going to make it. And I was like, dude, you're full of shit. Like, totally naive, had no idea that, like, he was really sick. A couple months later, I was 7 months pregnant, and, like, things were okay. Like, I was in contact with my sponsor, you know what I mean? Couldn't find my dad for the life of me. Like, he was totally off in left field, and, I just got a feeling. Like, I believe, like, when I get a feeling, like, it's for a reason. And I got a feeling to call my dad, and I couldn't get a hold of him. I just couldn't get a hold of him. So, like, I'm like, Mom, you got to call Aunt Jane. You got to get over there. You got to, like, you know what I mean, find him. And she did. She found him dead laying on the couch. It was like the day before he started his chemo. He had lung cancer from Agent Orange from Vietnam. So, like, we rushed over there, and, like, you want to, like, it terrifies me. Like, I hate this, and I hate talking about it, but I got to. Because pain shared is pain lesson, and I don't know how else to get rid of this pain. It was terrifying, like, just seeing him lay there, and, like, his leg fell off the couch, and I'm like, pick it up, that's not right. My mom's like, he's dead anyhow. I'm like, pick his leg up. And, my sister was a mess, and, like, it was a terrible time. A part of me is gone forever. It will always be gone forever, and, the only thing I can do now is be a good mom and show up for my son. And gonna speed back a little bit. Like 10 minutes after I found out my dad passed away, Levi's dad called me up and said, I've been cheating on you the last 6 months, it's over. After I told him my father had died. And my whole world just ended. I'm pregnant, 7 months pregnant, lost my father, okay, out of a relationship, don't have a job, nothing, like relying on him for everything, and I'm stuck. I was in a fucking rut. And I called my sponsor. That was the first thing I did, and that's the reason why they say call your sponsor every day when you first get clean. Because when shit hits the fan, automatic reaction, call your sponsor. And that's, I still do. I call my sponsor. Good shit, bad shit, indifferent, it doesn't matter. Because I don't know how to do this on my own. I have no clue. So that's what I did. And it sucked, and it was rough. And the beautiful part was, like, people showed up from the program. Everywhere I went, they'd show up. When Levi was born, they showed up. I had a beautiful, beautiful little baby boy. Ashley was there, and he's my world. Nothing will ever take him from me, nothing. And I didn't know what to do with him. I was 18 years old. Like, I was feeling like watch MTV till 3 o'clock in the morning mode. And, they had to show me how to bathe him. And they did. Like, I was watching his junk first and watching his face. And, like, what are you doing? I was like, I really had no clue. I did it. And, I do now. Like, he actually washes himself now, which is like it makes me want to cry because like he's growing up. They were there. Yeah, and I remember Ashley picking me up. She's like, "You need a break. Let's go to a meeting." And I'm like, "I miss him so much." And like, I didn't know what I was feeling. I just knew like God gave me something that like is irreplaceable. It's unconditional. Like no matter what he does, I'm still gonna love him. We moved to Butler because, like, my mom can't be alone, and, like, she has to be close to family, and I don't know what my Aunt Janie has inside of her, but something inside of her that she just wants to be around. Must be fine, my Aunt Janie. We moved to Butler, and I get this bright idea that I'm going to move out, right? I'm going to be mom, take care of my little baby, and I have no idea what I'm doing. And I do. I get my own place, and I had nothing, not even a couch. My mom got me everything, and I did it for 2 years. I worked my ass off, and I took care of my son, and... In the meantime, Levi's dad really needs program, all right, pray for this man to get a program, follows me, starts shit with me everywhere, wants full custody of him, blah, 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 so for months, years of pain, and I'm still going through it today, and it won't end for like 15 more years, and that's okay, because like, I'm willing to fight, I'll see you every day in court, I don't care, I'll rob a bank if I have to, pay an attorney, it's been like a really, really rough road, like I've had to learn how to keep my mouth shut when people were flying shit in my face. So yeah, I did that, and I don't know. Like, I stayed clean through it all. I had a sponsor right after, my second sponsor, after my dad died, and I could relate to her, because her dad passed away a couple of years before, and like, that's all I could think about. And that relationship didn't turn out so well. It's like, it turned into, like, she was my mom, and I was her daughter, and like, if I didn't do what she wanted me to do, not cool. And I didn't know any better. I did not know any better. I didn't know that I had the freedom to choose what I wanted to do. It was a controlling situation. It was a bad situation. I really didn't live my life for those years. I didn't talk to anybody for a couple years. I talked to her and another one of her sponsees, and that was it. Because it wasn't okay to call anybody else when she sponsored me. It wasn't okay. It robbed me of my recovery. And I still have a hard time seeing this person today, but she's made a mistake. I still need to go hug her and put a smile on my face and ask her how she's doing. Because it wasn't just her, it was me. I had a hard time playing it. I've been around long enough to know what's right and wrong. So this is my girlfriend Lori, we met a couple years ago, and she sponsored her too, and she kept telling me that it was a sin that I liked her. I called her up one day, and I said, I think I like her, like her, and she was like, no, you don't, it's just your friend, da-da-da-da-da-da, and I was like, no, it's a little bit more than that. Months went by, like a whole year went by, and like, we'd secretly go sleep together, and then tell you the next day, okay? It wasn't good. She wouldn't talk to me for days. And, like, I needed someone to talk to. Eventually she's like, I can't sponsor you anymore. And I felt so relieved. I felt so relieved, but I felt so devastated at the same time, because, like, now what am I going to do? I don't have a sponsor. through, like, the whole Northeast area, one person got a hold of me the next day. One person, Narcotics Anonymous, got a hold of me. And it was a woman with 17 years clean. And she said, are you okay? Can I call you? And the only one that reached out to me, damn right she's my sponsor today. She's a fantastic woman. She's she does Relay for Life and shit like that. Like, she actually helps people, and she likes to do it. Hello. And I got her as my sponsor, and she told me I have a choice today. I have a choice today to do whatever I want. I can jump up and down. It's my choice right now. She gave me the freedom that I was so long looking for. And she's taught me how to be a grown woman. She's really taught me how to be a grown woman. I'm not talking about doing the laundry. I'm talking about, like, talking to people when I have a problem with somebody. Because that's what this is about here. It's about my feelings. My biggest thing right now is, like, feelings don't have brains, okay? Feelings don't have brains. They don't. They're hormones produced in our body. I'm going to school for it, I know. and that's okay. Because, like, sometimes when I feel real shitty and I don't want anyone to talk to me and I'm irritated and I just want to go blow up something, I have to remember, like, it's just a feeling. The whole reason why I got high was over a feeling. So, like, why not let it pass? Why call someone and bitch at him, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's pointless anymore. Like, it screws with my spirituality. And, like, I'm learning that I can be a spiritual person. I walk in faith today. I walk in it. I can pray about it all I want, but I'm real strong on this. It's a belief that I have from Narcotics Anonymous. And there's a lot of stuff going on. I have a co-sponsor. Okay, my sponsor travels, which is cool, right? She went to China a couple weeks ago. And I got a brother as my co-sponsor. And he is 23 years clean. And he's a lifesaver, man. This man, I love this man to death. Like, he's my first guy friend without any, like, attachments, okay? I called him one day freaking out, and he told me to stop having some hope and to try having some faith. And I've never heard that before, because I'm always hoping everything will be okay. I'm always hoping this is going to work out. Well, try having some faith and letting it go, okay? And that's what he told me, and it worked out. Oh, my God. I don't know why that still surprises me today. It does. We're close, all right? Like, I don't care how old he is. I'm his booger. Okay, and I'm going to tell you why, because I feel like instant gratification can be anything. Like, the whole reason why we got high is because it felt good. The whole reason why we keep sleeping with people is because it feels good. The whole reason why we keep going gambling is because it feels good at the beginning. It's just like picking your nose. It feels good at first, right? It does. And every time you pick your nose, I hope you think of me, okay? And I'm still going to pick my nose. I still pick my nose. I love to pick my nose, okay? It's instant gratification, all right? So this is why I'm booger, okay? This is why I'm booger and he's not, okay? So let me form this relationship, all right? He's a great man. And he just got done going through liver cancer like 9 months ago, all right? Had surgery. They just removed part of his liver. It was real iffy, okay? And we found out last Monday that it's back. He started chemo last Friday, and like, if there was a question I could ask to God, it would be, why is it always the good people? This man does nothing wrong. He started chemo, and he's a mess. He's tired all the time, and what do I do? I keep showing up, because that's what I'm taught to do, to keep showing up. And his wife says, bring your sleeping bag and just stay the night. I hate seeing people in pain, especially people that I love, because I just want to go fix them, and I don't know how. What am I going to do? I bring over pineapple juice because he likes it. You know what I mean? I make him a goofy car with stick figures because it makes him laugh. Because he's at a war right now with his body. And he's got to try to stay clean through all of this, all over again. It puts my life into perspective. It really does. This is what I'm supposed to do. So my sponsor's a wreck. You're damn right, she's a wreck. It's her brother. It's her lifeline. My co-sponsor, okay, love him to death, his wife, like, the whole family's a mess, and, like, who am I? Just keep living my life, and just laugh it off like it's nothing, and keep going on with my business, and there's people hurting. Narcotics Anonymous taught me how to help, so why am I not going to go help? Even if it's picking him up, like, we showed up at 7 o'clock one morning to take him to work, his first day back to work, he didn't make it half the day, and it's a shame, but, like, whatever the reason is, like, it's going to be okay, no matter what. He's a rock, and like, pray for him, because like, he's got to make it through this. He's got to. It's how she's like, my dad died from lung cancer. So it's like, I feel like I'm reliving it all over again. And I called up my sponsor and I said, is this my way of making amends? To show up for him? Because I wasn't there for my dad? And she's like, absolutely. So like, I work steps, okay? I'm not like speed racer. I don't got my little doom buggy, and I'm on like a different room, okay? I just started my ninth step, my first ninth step, and everyone looks at me crazy, like, your first one? And I'm like, yeah, I'm a slow coke. And the reason is this, because my first sponsor told me this. I had 9 months clean, and I said, I'm working the first step. And she said, well, you're not honest yet. And I said, well, kind of I am. Yeah, close enough, right? And she told me, no, when you tell your mom you're going to do the dishes, you're supposed to go do the dishes. That's honesty. And so, being the smartest that I am, I went home, did the dishes, and called her. And she said, no, not like that. But shortly after, I did start my first step. And through this process of the steps, like, I always took my time. I always take my time. And, she had me do it word for word for word so I could realize what the true meaning of we was. It was amazing. It was truly amazing, like, what I found out about myself just from, like, one word. I had no idea. So I could buy a dictionary and write my definition first because I have altered brain, okay? And then read the dictionary definition. And I was totally wrong, like every single word. My big suggestion is buy a dictionary. If you have no idea what shortcoming means, go look it up. Go look it up. Get a dictionary. Get cool with it. Like, my toolbox is huge. It's full of people, books, everything, you name it. And my phone rings today because people like to talk to me. Like, it's real simple. And some days I don't want to talk to them, and they show up. I'm moving on top of all this, okay? I've learned something, when things feel right, and I call my sponsor, and she says they feel right, they might not turn out right, even though they felt right at the beginning, and this is something new for me. My brother's like, come move in with me. It'll be cheap, you know what I mean? I'm a single mom, I struggle, and I'm so tired of struggling, but it's okay. I'm in school, I'm going somewhere. And it felt fantastic at first, right? No, I can't live with anybody anymore. You give me a little bit of independence that I worked so hard for, I want it back. I'm moving again, and it's going to be all right, and I'm kind of excited, because, I know I can take care of myself today, and I can take care of my son. My son's Levi, all right, he's free, he's, up to here on me, and he's going to tower over me any day now, and he's my best friend, and, some days I don't know what to do with him, to be completely honest, he's at my butt 24-7, he'll tell you, I ask him, who loves you the most, single mommy does, and I said, you're damn right, because, it's my job to raise him, it's my job to do everything possible that he has a good life. And if that means going to school, that means going to school, working my ass off. If that means not going to meetings so he can go to bed at 8 o'clock at night, that's okay too, because he needs to be in bed at 8 o'clock at night. I used to be so mad at him, because I wanted to be at a meeting every night. I didn't want to stop running around like I used to before I had him. And like what I found out is like when he gets a good night's sleep, he's a lot nicer the next day. He's a lot nicer. He's a little sweetheart. And like he keeps me going. Like I can't wait to wake him up in the morning and see that smiling face because like he doesn't judge me for all the shit I did the day before. He loves me unconditionally and all he wants to do is hug and kiss and like say Harry Potter sword thingies and like he's like brought in my life. And he's actually shown me what I want to do with my life. And like I'm going to school and like I'm at the point where like I need a break, but that's not coming for a while. Like I want to go to be a pediatric nurse because I love children. I absolutely love children. I only found this out in Narcotics Anonymous, but I like to do. For once, I like something. I like it. No one else told me I liked it. And I like chemistry, too. I know. Little Flower likes chemistry, but I love it. I love blowing shit up, man. It was my favorite class. And I get so excited every day, like, I gotta go, class is starting, you know? And you give me math, that's another story. but, like, I work hard at school, and I still procrastinate, and I still blow some shit off, because, like, go to a meeting or do some history homework. I think I'll go to a meeting. I'm not perfect. And I might stay until 2 o'clock in the morning tonight getting everything done because it's all due tomorrow. All due tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. And I have like 6 chapters to read. And that's okay. Like if I don't pass all my classes, it's okay. Like C is equal degrees here, people. And like the only way I'm going to get somewhere in life is to put the effort into it. So like I'm moving and I'm going to go to school full time and be a mom and take care of my new house. Try to find a job, and my sponsor yelled at me and said a part-time job, because, like, I need to get to meetings still. If I could go to a meeting every day, I would. If I could take Levi every day, I would, but sometimes we don't say the nicest things here, and I don't want to go to kindergarten and be like, hey, your mom's a crackhead. I don't want that happening. I really don't. I know it's coming. So we screen the meetings I go to when he's with me, because he's a little kid, and he takes everything in, and I got to be real careful what I say and how I say it. I don't know. Like, I had this whole life plan in front of me. And, like, I'm so grateful I got clean when I did. I'm so glad that I hung on when I did. And, like, I had a lot of shit happen. I believe, like, it happened on the same day for a reason, to show myself how strong I actually can be. Because, like, sometimes, like, now when I get a flat tire, I'm like, son of a bitch, I don't think I can get through it. And I have to remember where I came from. And I don't do it perfectly all the time. Don't get me wrong, I know, and I yelled at her on the way here. I was like, you need to go eat. And she's like, no, that's not the right way. It was the right way, and, like, my ego wanted to be like, look, bitch, all right, it was eat, okay? And I'm, like, sitting there waiting for an apology. Like, she didn't say sorry because she should say sorry, you know? That's just the right thing to do. And no sorry because, like, people make mistakes. It's plain and simple. I don't know. Like, I've gone through a lot, and I'm going to go through a lot. I just got cervical cancer cells removed from my cervix a couple months ago, so I'm on a close watch. For biopsies, I freaking hate them. My God, they hurt. So I'm on watch. Like, everyone around me has cancer right now. Everyone around me has cancer, and I hate it. And I want to go find a cure for it and, like, fix everybody because I care today. And that's the bottom line, because I care about other people, and that was always the work in the steps. Like, you can stay clean as long as you want, but until you pick up that first step, you're going nowhere. I had to learn that the hard way. I had to learn how to see somebody and tell them, hey, I'm powerless over you. You're causing my life invincibility. I'm going to go pray for you, okay? That's simple. And, like, I've had to learn to pick up the phone and, like, ask for help. Oh, my God. Like, oh, my God. Okay, check this out. Like, I hate asking for help because, like, I think I got it all in the bag, right? and I don't. The bag broke. and, like, I don't, like, I have nothing. Okay, I don't have a couch. I don't have a chair. Once you know, freaking God has no plan for me. And, like, a couple people call me up and they're like, we got everything for you, Sarah. I don't have to worry about it. Two people that have everything, both. And I'm like, oh, my God, I have two couches now. Da-da-da-da-da-da. But I got to show up. And I'm finding it to be uncomfortable to ask for help. And I don't like feeling uncomfortable. When I was telling her last night, I'm like, I'm not telling these people I feel uncomfortable because I feel uncomfortable every day since I found out God has cancer because it irks me and it makes me sad. Okay, and I feel uncomfortable, and it's hard showing up. It's really hard to just keep showing up and watching him deteriorate. But I keep showing up, and that's all I'm supposed to do is just keep showing up. I can do that, I think, just for today. long story short, and, like, these people are, like, calling me up, like, this morning, and I'm like, thanks, I think, you know? Like, I don't know what to say. I've never had to, like, really, like, ask somebody for, like, physical things. I can call you about spiritual principle any day of the week, okay? I can ask how you do that. But to, like, truly ask for help, and they help. They call me. You know what I mean? And like they call me and they have a problem. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to help you because you helped me. And that's what we do here, okay? Because that's what we do here. We help each other. So one last thing, I'm going to shut up. Like, I don't believe in, like, this gossip, like, bamboo bullshit that goes on. Okay? It goes on everywhere. It doesn't matter what meeting you go to. It goes on. I don't believe in it. I believe really strongly that if you have an issue with somebody, you can call me up and you don't have to tell me their name. There's no reason. What's the reason? My sponsor tells me this, like, when you call me up and you start to tell me who it is, I have to stop you. And that is so hard, still to this day, because I'm dying to know. I have to stop a couple of my friends all the time, because even though we are really close friends, I don't need to know what Joe Blow's doing with that girl behind, you know what I mean? I don't need to know, because I'm probably going to tell someone else, okay? And people don't like that. They don't like that. And that's what I do, and my wife has no drama. It has no drama. Whatsoever. I might call some of her, okay, late at night when I'm pissed off, getting what I wanted, all right? But that's about it. I don't believe in it, and I don't believe in it because I've had people talk about me behind my back, and it hurts. It hurts my feelings a lot. I don't know. I'm a sensitive little girl, and like I came to the conclusion last week, I'm still a little girl inside. I'm still a little girl with pigtails, wanting to go to the water park with my dad, okay? That's who I am. And I might have a couple years clean, but I know nothing. I know absolutely nothing whatsoever. Because, like, the longer I stay clean, the more I see. I think I'm done. But I do want to say for the newcomer, don't get high. That's all you have to do is don't get high, go to a fucking meeting, all right, and breathe. Okay? Like, breathing is really good here because we forget how to do that quite often, okay? I know I do. I should probably do it right now. I know, okay? And, like, breathe and, like, go like this. Like, I'm not kidding. Take a look around because there's other people beside you. That's what I do here. It's a just for today thing. That's all it is, just for today. I can fuck up today real bad. I can wreck my car, but, like, it's just for today. Tomorrow's a new day. Who knows what's going to happen? And it makes me curious, and it makes me excited, and it makes me want to live one more day in this program. Not outside of it. It gave me a life, but I got to stay here to keep it. Like, that's why I come speak. That's why I go to my home group. That's why I answer the phone. Even though I don't want to call the newcomer that's still getting high, I still pick up the phone when she calls and tell her, go to a meeting. I'm not picking your ass up, but go to a meeting. Because, like, we save people's lives here. And, like, once our lives are saved, we have to help save the other ones. Because there's tons of us out there, tons of us. This is just little, like, if we don't start doing something here, we're not going to survive. I don't know. My name's Sarah, and I'm an addict. I'm done.